Can you remember some of the crazy things you did when you were in love? Just driving down the person's street, hoping to get a glimpse of them, writing someone's name all over a sheet of paper. I mean, we get crazy when we're in love. In fact, God himself invented love, and he loves it. In Jeremiah chapter 2, he reminisces about the love of his unabandoned and unashamed bride, willing to follow him everywhere. But he's also a bit sad because that love has begun to diminish, and that bride could be you.
Welcome to Storming the Gates, a podcast that celebrates the power of prayer. You will be inspired, equipped, and find strength for every battle you face.
Okay, hello. Welcome back to Storming the Gates, the podcast that celebrates the power of prayer. My name is Joni Scott, and currently I'm doing a big project called Praying Through the Book of Jeremiah. So each separate podcast, we're going to take a look at a chapter in the book of Jeremiah, focus on three verses, and then use these verses as a base to pray, first of all, for ourselves, and second of all, for our community, our nation, our families, and those around us. I love the book of Jeremiah, and I think as we continue in here, you're going to find you love it too. Now, we're going to be doing Jeremiah 2, so I encourage you to read that chapter before you continue watching or listening to this. I do want to say that our church just recently completed a 21-day fast. Now, not everyone fasts all 21 days, but wow, it was so powerful. We did a special event at the end where people shared, and there were miracles. There were healing miracles. There were people who really heard from God, people's pets, okay? One man paid for his limping dog, and the dog was walking after. My husband, who'd been diagnosed with glaucoma, went back for, you know, his prescription, and they were going to run some more tests to see how, you know, he was, you know, what specifically he needed. And all the pressure behind his eyes was suddenly gone. So that was really special for us to see that take place. So I just want to encourage you with these words so that you see and know that prayer, especially prayer combined with fasting, can really bring breakthroughs. So without further ado, let's get into Jeremiah 2. First of all, Jeremiah 1 covered the call of God to his prophet, to Jeremiah. We talked about his reluctance and God's promises to him. So now chapter 2 begins, and here we start the call of God to his people. And we could also say their reluctance and God's promises to them. The biggest difference between Jeremiah's call and the call of God to his people is going to be that Jeremiah hears, listens, and obeys. And the people, not so much, right? Well, as I reread chapter 2 today, I was seeing how there's a clear message bubbling through. God is reminding his people of who he created them to be. And that is the choices they have made that have led to all the trouble in which they've now found themselves, which we'll talk about in ensuing chapters. And we can deduce by God's response to the people in Jeremiah chapter 2 that the people are blaming God for their troubles. And he's telling them through Jeremiah, you brought this on yourself, honey. I set you up for success. Do you realize that as a believer in the Lord Jesus, you are set up for success? You are set up to live a life of faith that overcomes the world. Now, I'm not talking Mercedes-Benz and beachside vacations, although sure, God can do that. And at times, he does. But I speak here of the general success as a human being in a difficult world. He's given his word so we can go out, take land, conquer enemies, pray for the sick, gain favor with God and men. He meets us in a place of prayer and whispers his truth to us. He enables us to move forward when we'd otherwise quit. And he provides all we need continually as we serve and obey him. And this is what God is telling Israel through chapter 2. In fact, I really had trouble narrowing it down to just three verses because some great pictures are drawn in the words of Jeremiah throughout this chapter. So again, if you haven't read chapter 2 yet, it's time to do so now because it will enable you to see how God's weaving his message throughout a number of word pictures and analogies. But I'm going to start with verse 2 because this verse, Jeremiah 2:2, is one of my all-time favorites because of the picture it evokes. In fact, I have a memoir titled A Call to the Wilderness because of it. NIV words it this way. This is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. Now, I love this verse because many moons ago, God called me to a wilderness. And I can still hear Chuck Smith's hearty laugh after he encouraged my husband and I to consider planting a Calvary in the far reaches of the north, in a tiny town amidst endless forest. I said, that's wilderness country. And Chuck Smith just laughed, adding, yes, I believe its main industry is logging. And yet, after a brief period of prayer, our hearts surged with joy at the thought of heading into Michigan's Upper Peninsula to a land not sown with a Calvary Chapel. And so, like a bride in love, we're willing to go anywhere, do anything, leave behind everyone and everything we know to be with the one we love. And God is using Jeremiah to remind Judah of the incredible love they once shared. So as we pray through Jeremiah, I want us to first look inwardly and allow God's word to examine our hearts. Then I also want us to look at the world and community around us, and specifically the nation that you live in. My own nation is America. And for me, I can think of how the early settlers to America were also like this adoring bride, that they followed a call to a land not sown, and they endured horrible weather, sicknesses, deaths, and loss. And yet they stayed because something was burning in their hearts to create a new life where people would be free to worship unrestrained the living God. Love makes a person do crazy things. Can you think of some crazy things you did when you were in love? It's what causes us to teach kids church, serve coffee, give to the poor, go to the prisons, attend prayer meetings. There was a great story I heard from our pastor's son-in-law once. His name is Trent, and as a young man, a teenager, he felt called to Tibet. And he began to prepare for Tibet by doing things like sleeping on floors. And he went to school in order to get a degree so that he would be allowed into a place that, you know, just your average Joe can't go in there. But by the time he graduated from school, he also had a family and he had a degree that could really take him places and to great jobs. And also, he realized with the income he could make, he could pay for 3 or 4 missionaries to Tibet. So one day he asked the Lord, is this Tibet thing still on? And he said he heard God speak to him with a bit of a sigh. I don't know, Trent, is it? Do you remember a time when God was your first love? Look at Revelation 2, verse 4. What does it mean to lose your first love? For Israel, it meant they were still doing all the things, just with no passion, no desire. Maybe it was even done begrudgingly. And maybe you are still doing all the things, but your heart is no longer in it. And maybe there was a time you said, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything you ask me to do. Insert batting eyelashes here. And maybe there was a time that you headed out for a desert and you knew, you just knew he would take care of you. And lo and behold, he did. But you also learned that deserts are hot and they have scorpions and snakes and you felt thirsty. But maybe you also grew weary and the love light grew dim. Why don't we consider that time for a moment? And let's pray now and ask God to restore the devotion of our youth and our willingness to go wherever and do whatever he's called us to do. Lord, we remember our call. We remember how you showed up in our lives, and we were just drawn to follow you wherever you would lead. If that has dimmed at all, Lord, show us that and restore and renew our love and our zeal for you. Search our heart that we might find that spark that we can relight and turn it into a flame and restore our first love. Amen. Okay, we spent a little bit of time on that one. These next two will go a little faster. Let's look at another verse in this chapter, and this is going to evoke yet another visual aid. Jeremiah 2, verse 13 says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Well, you may or may not be aware that a cistern is a waterproof reservoir that holds the rainwater. And this verse made me think about my visit to Israel and the now broken cisterns I saw in the high desert places of Masada. And they're interesting. They're in a hot, dry desert. I mean, nothing grows there. And you go way up, you take this tram way up to the mountaintop. Well, the little bit of rain that fell there, and by the way, when I was there in April, it was 106 degrees. Woo, baby. Anyway, that little bit of rain that was collected into the reservoirs held 1 million gallons of water. King Herod actually created bathing houses from these vast water supplies. And it was determined that even half full, the people living atop Masada could survive for 10 years on that water. So what the Lord is saying here is that he has provided boundless, fresh, ever-flowing, clean, and life-giving water for our souls. The people of Judah rejected that and left this clear, fresh, flowing stream and instead built cisterns. They found a way to sustain themselves. Like, don't worry, God, we got this. Well, the problem was that the things they created could not hold what was really needed. They were broken, and their souls grew as parched as the arid heat and lifeless red rocks of Masada. And what happens if we don't have water? Within a few days, we perish. As we pray over this scripture, I want us to first look into ourselves. Have we built a cistern in a place where we are supposed to trust in God's endless provision? And secondly, it's a prayer point for our community and nation, that we would return to the true source of life and to turn to him for our survival and sustenance in dry times. So Lord, examine, Lord, our life. Show us any place we have built a cistern, especially if it's a broken cistern. Lord, we don't want water that just builds up, but we want fresh, clean water that flows from you and from your word. And Lord, I pray for our community, that they will see you as the source of life, that they will no longer keep looking into empty, dark cisterns, and instead they'll turn their faces upward towards you. Amen. Now, as we continue to move into the second chapter of Jeremiah, we are given a number of unflattering images of God's beloved, as she is compared to a degenerate vine, a wild donkey in heat, and a thief who's been caught red-handed. And then it returns back to this picture of a bride, a nonchalant bride. So before we take a look at this final verse, I want you, if you are married, to pause and remember what you wore on your wedding day. Can you remember it? Do you remember the accessories and how you felt that day, looking your very, very best? Well, now let's read verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. What an incredible insult to a spouse, that the wedding dress the bride chose for her special occasion has been cast aside because she ceased to care. Whew. Because forgotten here doesn't mean, I don't remember. Did I get married once? But it really means refusing to call it to mind. She has so departed from her love that she doesn't even think about the evidence that she once pledged her love to another. She doesn't want to look at it like, I don't even want to see this. Like tossing out your wedding ring. Boom. Don't need that no more. That reminds me of an old song by a group known as Edward Bear that I used to listen to and love as a teenager. And I'll try to read the words, but if I break in the song, I apologize now. But it goes, did you know I go to sleep and leave the lights on, hoping you'd come by and know that I was home, still awake? But 2 years go by and still my light is on. This is hard for me to say, but it's all that I can take. This is the last song I'll ever write for you. Well, as a young teen, these poignant verses touched my heart. I mean, what? It's a great picture. A man is waiting for his bride to return. And how sad and how hard it is to finally close the curtains and turn off the light. Although in the song, the man keeps reiterating, but I love you. Oh, yes, I do. I really do. Well, the Lord has left the light on for many, many years. He has shown mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace. Even now, he's having Jeremiah sing his last love song to a wayward bride. But the time comes that God will close the curtains and turn off his light. I actually asked the Lord a couple decades ago, it's been a while, what would become of America? And he gave me this word that I wrote down and I remember very vividly. He said to me, America will fall to her knees, but she will not die. Her light will shine again briefly before going out forever. Well, I tend to believe that the intercessors, of which God has raised up many, have been keeping the light on in America. But without a deeper, further pushing forward, that light could very well go out forever. And on top of that, I find that the majority of committed prayer warriors these days have gray hair, like me, beneath this dyed color. So what will happen when this generation passes on into eternity? Who will keep the light of prayer burning in the darkness? So let us pray both that God will keep his light on and that his bride will return, see that light, and respond to the message of hope shining through heaven's windows. Lord, I ask that we'll remember our bridal attire and our love that was on that day that we exchanged our vows with you. That, Lord, you will raise up intercessors, prayer warriors throughout our lands to cry out, to weep, and to keep the light of our nation burning. And, Lord, above all, we pray, if we're a wayward bride, that we'll return, see the light of your love, and renew our commitment to our Savior. But I also pray for our nations, our communities. Lord, I pray that as they walk in darkness, that they will see a great light and return to you, their very first love. Wow. It's heavy. Even as we look at that light and realize, yeah, it's burning. Hallelujah for the mercy given us. I do want to encourage you to follow the links in the show notes. And so you can subscribe to my newsletter. Because with the newsletter, every time there's going to be a new podcast, I am going to send along journal pages. And eventually, they will be printed and you'll be able to get the full journal. Yay! Excitement. So we'll see you back here. But in the meantime, read Jeremiah 3 and get ready for the next episode of Storming the Gates, the podcast that celebrates the power of prayer.
Thank you once again for listening to Storming the Gates. Check the show notes for links to items mentioned in today's show. We'll see you here again for the next episode of Storming the Gates, a podcast that celebrates the power of prayer.